Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Meditating and just thinking about small groups and what would I say to people? I've never actually had a small group myself. I've never led a small group. I've actually been thinking about starting one in my home with some unbelievers and some people that I know won't come to church. And that seems to be the last few years kind of been a lot of the focus that I felt the Holy Spirit really pressing me towards is to reach people who aren't coming to reach, you know, like for years, all I wanted to do was preach in conferences, preach in churches. I really, really wanted for many years to be the church evangelist. And it felt like God took me out. He pulled me out and he put me in this oil field for so long. And it just felt like I was missing this. And for years, all I wanted to do was get back into the church. I was just couldn't wait for the day where I could sell my business. I remember in 2014, I finally had someone who really offered. Finally, I got an offer from my business that was in the millions and millions of dollars. And I was quite excited because I thought, finally, I can retire from this and go back to my true calling, ministry. Preach to the church. But when I prayed, the Lord said, no, you're not selling this business. And it was a hard one, and I wrestled with this, and my wife too, because she was quite happy to take the check and go. but the Lord said no, and then we go into this worst recession ever. I'm like, why didn't I take the money? You know. But even through that, you know, God has brought us out, but it seemed more and more obvious that the Lord was not going to give me what I wanted. Was to be that evangelist who gets to speak at all the big conferences. And it was last April, I just got back from Israel. I went there just by myself just to seek the Lord. Jesus said to me, meet me in Galilee. And so I flew to Galilee and I spent a week on the Sea of Galilee just walking. A beautiful, beautiful place. And just walking and seeking the Lord, and I fasted the whole time. In fact, I fasted a few weeks before I went. I got back from a 21-day fast. When I got back, I finished my fast with hot wings and hamburgers from McDonald's. Oh. 21 days, water. Boom, I hit it with all these hot wings. And I landed in the hospital. True story. For 4 days, my stomach had completely stopped, yeah. Shut down, and then I just threw all this fire at it. And I was in the hospital, and I was standing there in the hospital, just feeling such an idiot. And the sun was shining through the window. And I felt the Lord say, just, you know how this kind of creates like a ray, kind of like a, just sort of looked like heaven was shining in. And I heard the Lord say, step into the sun. And I stepped in and I could just feel the warmth. I felt the presence of the Lord. And he said, look at your watch. And I looked at my watch, it was 5:55. And he said, today I give you Isaiah 5:55, or 55:5. And I didn't know what it said, so I looked it up. And it says, I will give you a nation that you do not know. And the nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord, the presence of the Lord in you. And I just felt the Lord began to speak to me and say, see, Steve, all your life you've wanted to be the guy preaching to the churches. I've got people doing that. I want you to go after a whole other people. I want you to go after people that nobody else is going after. And so I really embraced that. I accepted that. I mean, I'll still preach at the conference if they want me. But I really began to look at the unchurched. I really began to look at the next generation. And how am I going to reach them? And how can I be a person who does reach them. And one of the ways that God's given me, and what we started doing about a year ago, around that time, was I started doing these little episodes. I started doing these little Bible studies in the bush with a video camera. I'd set up in my truck or wherever, and I'd do a 5-minute or 10, 15-minute video, and we started putting them on this website, oilpatchpulpit.com. And I started telling my customers, you know, are you going to make it to church on Sunday? They bleepity bleep bleep bleep, and I said, well, if you can't make it, you can always watch me. Go to oilpatchpulpit.com. I give them a sticker. We have hard hat stickers. And they're like, huh? You're a preacher? Well, they didn't let me preach to them, but they couldn't help the curiosity to at least go online and see me preach, you know? And it wasn't long before I see all these heathens walking around the oil patch with Oil Patch Pulpit hard hat stickers on their heads. And it just kind of took off, and I started doing these little Bible studies, and I sharing my faith wherever I got the chance, and praying for people as they would give me opportunity. And it was funny, sometimes just the people that would, I remember one time I was just driving out, actually I got stuck in the mud out in the middle of nowhere with my truck, and I wrecked the front end of my truck. And this big tank truck driver comes by, and he's like, hey, you need me to pull you out? And I'm like, oh yeah, please. So we get on a tow rope, and he tugs me out of the mud, and once he pulls me out, I'm like, thanks so much, appreciate it, and I'm wrapping up my rope, and as he's walking away, he looks back and says, you're that Oil Patch preacher, aren't you? I said, you watch Oil Patch Pulpit? And he said, almost every episode. And I said, wow, what church do you go to? And he said, I don't go to church, but I like your show. And I've been on leases where the medic, you know, watches Oil Patch Pulpit. I never thought this one customer would ever watch it. And he's like, by the way, I've been watching your show. Like, aren't you like he's like Hindu or something like that, like mini gods or whatever. And he's like, yeah, but I like your show. You know, in fact, even just this last month, I get a call from one customer and said, just wanted you to know that, and I know he didn't serve the Lord. I just want you to know that your last episode really, really had no impact on me at all. And I said, really, why? He said, well, I don't really believe in all that Jesus stuff, but usually there's something in your messages that I can connect with. That I can go, yeah, I like that. I can take that. I said, but your last had nothing in it for me. It's all about God. And, I said, well, I'll make sure there's something in the next one, even for a heathen like you. And he called me after the next episode. He said, I loved it. It was fantastic. I watched right to the end. Usually I don't get to the end of your message. A little long-winded, you know. But, you know, I found a little thing that's me, and it works for me, you know. And I don't think anybody, you know, I'm not saying everybody needs to start your own little website. But I found something that's working for me. And even as I was praying and about what to share tonight, I felt like the Lord saying, you know, probably the greatest, the most powerful key, as far as I can see, the most powerful key that I know of to influencing people is my ability to be myself and to accept who I am as puny as I happen to think that I am, or as ordinary and plain as I am. But there's something powerful that happens when I really discover who I am, embrace that, accept that, and then let the Lord anoint that. Because I think that for most of us, we're looking for a method that works for somebody, or we're looking for somebody that we admire, and then I want to be like him, I want to do it like him. Like even at the men's camp, people ask, well, how do you do this or how do you do that? And I'll tell you how I do it, but I say it even reluctantly because I know that the Lord really wants you to find your way. He wants to find your groove. He wants you to embrace the fact that you are not me and I'm not you. You're not wired like me. If you try to start Oil Patch Pulpit, it's probably not going to work for you. But if you discover who you are, it's going to it's going to be the greatest key to you stepping into your anointing. I brought this thing, you may laugh, but last time I was here, I think it was Lloyd. He gave me this book called Edward the Emu. And I brought it with me. I felt the Lord say, take that book with you. You're going to use it. And I just wanted to bring it tonight. But this is one of my son's favorite book. He's now 9 years old, but I still read it to him once in a while. But I've read this to him for the last 5 years. I can't even count how many times I've read this. But I want to read this story. How many have heard this book? Well, there's a few who haven't, so I'm reading it. Edward the Emu was sick of the zoo. There was nowhere to go, there was nothing to do, and compared to the seals that lived just next door, well, being an emu was frankly a bore. So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward jumped from the pen and he laughed as he said, "The seals are the best, anybody can tell. So tomorrow, I'll be a seal as well." The next morning at 9 when they opened the zoo, the seals were swimming and Edward was too. He dived in the water and basked in the sun and balanced a ball on his beak just for fun. Well, Edward was really enjoying the day till he overheard someone behind the fence say, "The seals are always amusing, it's true, but the lion is the best thing to see at the zoo." So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward jumped from the pool and he smiled as he said, "The lion's the best, anybody can tell. So tomorrow I'll be a lion as well." The next morning at 9 when they opened the zoo, the lions were roaring, and Edward was too. He snarled at the ladies and growled at the men. Life was certainly grand for a lion in his den. Well, Edward was having a wonderful day till a man in the crowd had the gumption to say, "The lion's a beast I will always detest. The snakes are the best thing, or the thing that I like to see best." So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward crept from the cage and he grinned as he said, "If the snakes are the best thing and that's what they say, then tomorrow I'll be snake for a day." The next morning at 9 when they opened the zoo, the snakes were all hissing and Edward was too. He slipped around the rocks, it was magic to see. Then he curled himself up casually around a tree. Well, Edward was just warming up for the day when he overheard one of the visitors say, "The snakes are impressive, I know that's true, but the emu is by far the best thing at the zoo." "The emu," gasped Edward. "My goodness, that's me. I'm the thing that gentleman most likes to see. Not the seals, the lions, the snakes, and the rest. It's Edward the emu. He likes to see best." So that night when the zookeeper went home to bed, Edward slipped from the cage and he laughed as he said, "If the emu is the best, well, that's easy then. Tomorrow, I'm Edward the emu again." But Edward ran to the place where he used to reside, but oh, what a shock when he clambered inside. He found himself suddenly come face to face with the emu they'd brought in to take Edward's place. The emus considered each other a while. Then the new emu said with a shy little smile, "Hello, I'm Edwina. It's nice meeting you. You're the best thing I've seen since I came to the zoo."
I love that one.
You know, silly little thing, but how much of our lives do we spend trying to become something that we think is better than we are? When the truth of the matter is, there's nobody like you. There's nobody wired like you. There's no one who will ever be anointed to be like you. And you'll never, ever be anything less than a very below average John, or below average Steve, or below average Philip, but you have the potential to be the absolute best you that you could ever be. And I just wanted to bring that word to you today, you know, just to encourage you to say, I believe that God wants for you to look deep inside yourself and begin to ask yourself, who am I? And what am I wired for? And what am I passionate about? And how does God want to use me? And to recognize that God had a plan for you before he ever even created the world. One of my favorite scriptures, I quote it probably almost every sermon, but it's Psalm 139:16. It says, all the days ordained for you were written in his book before he lived a single one. Before you lived a single one. God had a plan for you. You know, a couple years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, I remember when I was driving down the highway, but he said to me, Steve, I'm going to start to speak to you about your birth and surrounding your birth. And I said, why do you want to do that, Lord? And I felt him say, because I want you to know that I was there. I want you to know that I planned you. I want you to really believe that I had a plan for you before you were even born. And specifically, I felt the Lord was going to begin to speak to me. I sensed that he was going to speak to me through even the number of my birth. I was born on January 8th. And January being the first month, 8 being the 8th day. I knew he was going to begin to speak to me through the number 1-8. He said, Steve, I want you to start looking for the number 18. This is going to be like a cue for you and me. And when you see 18, just let that be like, that'll be one way that I can get your attention, you know? And so he spoke this to me, and it was literally like a week later that I was at a conference somewhere, and this woman walks up to me, and she says, hi, I heard you at such and such a place, and I think I was speaking on business or something there, I don't know. And she said, I know you don't need my money. But she said, the Lord spoke to me, and she said that I needed to sow into you. And it's more about me than it is about you. And she said, I'm supposed to give you $180. The Lord told me to give you $180. She said, specifically, it had to be 180, not 200. And she said, I don't know if you realize it, but 18 is a very important number to God. And this had just been a week earlier that the Lord spoke this to me. And I didn't say nothing to her. I was like, okay, keep talking. She said, 18 is a very not important number to God. She said, a lot of people don't realize it, but she said, in Jewish culture, and I looked this up later, and it's true, but she said, in Jewish culture, what Jewish families will do is when they give a gift to someone, they'll often give them a gift in a number that is multiple by a multiple of 18. So, you know, if you're going to go to a wedding, you wouldn't give them $200, you give them $180. Or if you're a parent, you want to give them a house, you might give them $180,000 or even $360,000, but it would be a multiple divided by 18. And she said, 18 is a number that symbolizes prosperity of the Jewish people. It means, you know, when I give it, it's releasing prosperity to you, but it also is supposed to bring prosperity back to me. And she said, I felt the Lord just told me to give you $180. And I said, thank you. I receive it, and I do that now. I just receive it. Kids come up with me with their allowance. I want to give you $10. I'm like, I receive it. Thank you very much. God bless you. I release my grace to you, whatever. But blessed her and prayed for her. And an hour later, she came back and said, I think the Lord wants me to give you another 180. I'm like, I'll take it. So she gives me another 180. But the Lord started to speak to me more and more, and I even started I started looking for 1-8s. Here and there, and I realized that my two life verses that I had carried, but I hadn't really paid attention to the fact that they were both 1-8s. But these two life verses that I've carried, kind of like one in each hand, one has been Joshua 1-8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, and you will prosper. That has been a key life verse for me. I felt that God's called me to be a person who memorizes the Word of God, meditates on the Word of God, lives the Word of God, and He'll prosper me if I do. And I was sharing with some of the guys at the men's camp that the year that I began to memorize the Word of God, the Lord doubled the sales of our companies, and we just started making money hand over fist. The other number, scripture that I had often carried as a life verse was Daniel 1:8, which says that Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. And some of you know my testimony. That's been a struggle for me. I really battled with alcohol from like 2005 to 2010. It was a really, really bad time for me. And the Lord just said to me, Steve, if you will take very seriously what you put in your mouth, what you eat, what you drink, your health, my health, I believe, and I've noticed over and over again that my ability to hear God's voice is radically affected by what I eat, what I drink. If I want to hear God, if I go on a veggie fast, like if I go veggies and water, I'll have prophetic dreams almost every single night. I tried to do it extended, but it's just, vegetables. You know, but if I need to hear from God, I go to veggies. Veggies and water. I don't know why, it just happened. And that was the Lord that spoke to me one time. I just was struggling, I was trying to hear the word of the Lord, and I couldn't get the word, and the Holy Spirit whispered, do a veggie fast. Okay. And that night I got the word of the Lord in a dream. And so I've noticed that, what I eat and what I drink. And so many now, I mean, the Lord will speak to me, and I love 1 Peter 1:8, and I love Mark 1:8, and of course everyone loves Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But these became, I just started to notice God using this as a way to get my attention, and we began to be showing off. I'd be driving down the road and he'd say, look at the car, look at the license plate on this car. And I knew it would be 1:8, sure enough, 1:8, 1:8. I'm like, cool, you know? But for a guy who struggles sometimes to know, can I hear God's voice? And can God get my attention? It was exciting for me to see that God can. I can hear God's voice. God can get my attention. And finding my own little way with him, and then him beginning to speak to me. I remember one time just walking through my house and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to open your Bible anywhere and point. And so I just flipped my Bible open and I point. I read it, Isaiah 42:6-7:8, I read it. And this was a couple years ago, and I didn't really like, it didn't really interest me. It was just kind of, sounded a little grandiose, and so, I don't know if that was the Lord. And I started to walk away from it, and the Holy Spirit said, you better like it, it's your mandate for the rest of your life. And I said, all right, well, give it another look. So I read it again, and I started meditating on it, and I memorized, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant to the people and a light to the dark. My mandate, you know, covenant to the people and light to the dark. And it goes on, and it just, this whole passage of scripture, about opening eyes of the blind, freeing captives from prison, releasing those who are in dungeons of darkness. And anyways, I meditated on this and I started praying and my heart starts coming alive. And I told my wife about this. I said, Lord, is your mandate? And I'm meditating on it and I'm quoting it for months and months. And then one day we went to this conference and we actually flew to North Carolina to go to this conference. And the preacher was up there preaching. And this particular minister who I've always enjoyed, Paul Keith Davis, I don't know if you guys ever follow him, but it's a guy I really like. I watch a lot of his episodes, he does webinars on the internet and whatnot. But every time I've been to a conference wherever he preaches, when I go up for the altar call for prayer, he always gives my wife this powerful, long word. She doesn't even really care for the guy or listen to his ministry at all. He'll give her this a wonderful, amazing word and prophecy. And he comes to me and goes, God bless you. And then he moves on. I'm like, no! I really like this guy. I'm hoping maybe I'll get a word. He's preaching. In the middle of his message, he looks straight at me and he starts quoting this. I, the Lord, have called you in thy righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. I will make you to be a covenant to the people, a light for the dead. And he goes, and my wife is, and while he starts prophesying this, my wife, and he wasn't looking at me, but he was looking at me. He wasn't purposefully, that I know of, pointing this at me. But my wife is nudging me, and I'm in full tunnel vision. I'm just like, I'm drinking this mandate from heaven. I can feel the anointing coming into me. And my wife is nudging me, saying, hey, that's your mandate. That's your mandate. I'm like, shut up. Be quiet. I'm in it. I know. That's your mandate. And anyways... After he's done preaching, he says, if anyone wants prayer, come on up. And boom, I run out with Kara. He gets to her, gives this long prophetic word, all this, everything. Then he gets to me and he says, "You've been asking God about your mandate? Well, there it is." And he walks away. I'm like, "Did you hear that?" You know, and but discovering, you know, I share all this to say this: God has a mandate for you, and you don't need to get excited about my mandate. But God has a mandate for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny for you. And for you to really reach the fullness of the potential, the anointing, the grace, the power for you to influence people is absolutely connected to your ability to fall in love with yourself, to realize, like so many, you look at so many of the great men of God in Scripture. They had this revelation, they had this understanding that I am important to God. It's not that I'm more important than anyone else, it's not that I'm better than anyone else, but they had this revelation that I'm really valuable, that I'm really important. You see, Jeremiah, the prophet, says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I knit you together in your mother's womb, I'd set you apart. I a plan for you, a purpose for you to be a prophet to the nation." Even the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1:15, he said, "God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace," he had this understanding. He was set apart, even from birth. Well, you might say, "Paul, you didn't get saved until later in life." What do you mean, from birth? You know? But he understood that. He knew. No, I was called from birth. God had a plan for me from birth. Well, that's true for you. God had a plan for you before you were born. He has a destiny that only you can fulfill. And when you begin to say, "Yes, I'm me, and I like me," and you begin to not only embrace you, but begin to say yes to the call of God on your life, that's when the anointing comes. I was chatting with one guy today, and we were just talking about just kind of the disappointment that I think you realize with the day that you kind of realize that you're normal. Anyone ever come to that conclusion? It's like, I was hoping all these years that I was really special, and I finally concluded, I'm normal. Anyone? I think I'm normal. I don't think I'm more special. But the thing is, that's all of us. We're normal. We're, none of us have superpowers. None of us walk on water. But yet God chose you. He said, "You didn't choose me," Jesus said. John 15:16. "I chose you. I chose you." And in realizing that, then you can say, "Okay, well, where are we going?" And I'm not going to try to be like Levi, even though I love the way he worships. Or I'm not going to try to be like Philip. I'm not going to try to be a mini John. I'm going to be me and go after God wholeheartedly. Remember when I was younger, I shared with some of the young guys at the camp, but when I was a young kid, I was so convinced. I remember the internal dialogue that I had with myself as a teenager in high school was, "Steve, you're average." This is what, and I'm sure it was the devil talking to me too, but "You're average. Don't expect a great life." I remember in grade 12, just, you know, everyone's talking about what they're gonna do, what they're accomplishing. And I walked around and I'm thinking, well, let's just be realistic, Steve. You have a fairly low IQ, okay? Struggle in school, you know, and people don't really like you very much. And socially, I was a bit of a misfit because I shared with some of the younger, I was living in a spiritual prison, so I wasn't able to connect with people. So I just figured I was unlikable, unlovable, girls didn't like me. So my basic internal dialogue was, well, you're not total loser, but you're slightly below average. So you should expect a slightly below average salary, a slightly below average job, slightly below average wife, slightly below average children, you know, slightly below average everything. But you know what? That's okay. At least you're not down there like that guy. You know what I mean? Maybe you look for somebody dumber or somebody, you know, whatever. But this was my internal dialogue, and even my friends would have agreed with it. I was telling, I don't know who I was telling, but a couple years ago, I went out for supper with a few friends that were my best friends in high school, Ben and Karen, and they ended up getting married. But they were my best friends in high school, and they said to my wife, we were out on a double date just a couple years ago, and I went to the bathroom at this restaurant, and while I was gone, because they'd been asking us all about our business and this and that, now we have like multiple businesses, and God has really blessed us. It's quite phenomenal, because I'm literally just the most ordinary person you could ever meet. In fact, when we went into business, I just didn't think we could ever succeed, because I don't know anything about oil field, I don't know anything about fixing stuff, I'm not mechanical, I'm just not business minded, and yet God has just so radically prospered us, and now we have multiple businesses, and so they're asking us these questions. Well, I went to the bathroom, and while I'm in the bathroom, they said to Kara, man, we were so worried about Steve. This is what they said, this is the honest truth. They said, when we were in high school, we were so afraid, like we loved him, but we were pretty sure he was never gonna accomplish anything with his life. You know, he didn't seem very smart. He didn't have any talent. We couldn't imagine him having a trade, or, you know, like trades were for at least slightly above average people. You know, you want to be a carpenter or a plumber or something, that's above average, you know. I wouldn't have thought of getting a trade. I wouldn't have thought of going to college or university or anything like that. And I said, just can't even believe, you know, how things turned out. And I just say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you something. When you begin to embrace who you are, Edward the emu. Who wants to be an emu? I don't know. Praying for you this afternoon, I took a couple notes. I just wanted to make notes. You know, Revelation 2. I touched on this around the campfire one night, I think during question and answer time. But he says in Revelation 2, he says, I know your deeds. He's preaching to the choir. He's preaching to some of the really good Christians, you might call them. You know, these are people who had sacrificed, people who had surrendered their lives to the Lord, people who were paying a price. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you can't tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So these are really good folks. Sometimes when we read this passage, we think these are the bad guys. These are like some of the best people in your church. All right? But he says, but I have this one thing against you. You have forsaken your first love. Basically, he's saying, you know, you're so amazing in so many areas. I mean, you persevered, you suffered, you've done all this stuff. You're great. But he said, there's just this one little problem. You don't love me. Your heart doesn't move anymore. And he says, this is what I want you to do. He said, I always forget this part. He says, go back and do the things you did at first. He's saying, think back to the time. This is basically what he's saying. Think back to a time in your life when you loved me more than you do right now. Can you remember, how many can remember a time where you were up at night thinking about Jesus? I mean, you couldn't think about anything else. You just loved him so much. He says, go back. Think about a time when you really were so passionate about me. He said, go back and do the things that you did at first. Do the things that you did in those days. You notice he doesn't say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read your Bible more. You know? Or he doesn't say, I want you to sing more songs. Or I want you to, he doesn't give you a list. He says, you need to go back and do the things that you did at first. What does that tell you? It tells you that we're all wired a little differently. Hello? The things that move your heart toward the Lord, the things that cause you to love Jesus well, they're different than the things that turn me on. I was telling the guys, For me, it's marinating myself in the Word of God, the thing that stirs my heart up. Now, I love, you know, I pray, I seek the Lord every morning. I get up, I bow my knee, I pray. But that can be work for me. That's a challenge. I don't find that easy. I've been looking forward. I'm praying that one day I will just love prayer. But to be honest, it's work for me. I do it. I do it every day, but it's work. And one day God will anoint me and I'll just start going up into heavenly places, but it's work. But for me, what really takes me up is meditation on the Word. When I meditate on the Word, other people try to memorize scripture and they just go, oh, horrible. They can't stand it. For me, memorization just takes me away. Someone else is playing the guitar. You sit down and as soon as you get a guitar in your hand, it just takes you away. Someone else, it's my spiritual mom, Katie. She just has to go for a walk outside. As soon as she gets outside, the fresh air, God starts talking to her. If she doesn't get outside, she gets a little cranky. You know? Send her on. I go on ministry trips with her, she's like, Mom, you need to go for a walk. She goes for a walk, and when she comes back, she's on fire, you know? But you think about, you know, talk about keys to embracing who you are and becoming the person that God's called you to be. You got to discover what is it that turns you on? What is it that turns your heart? What is it that sets you on fire? And if you could think back to the time in your life when you loved Jesus more than you do right now, what were you doing in those days? I was memorizing scripture, page after page. What were you doing? Jesus says, do that again. Because if you will do that, that is your thing. If you will do that and keep doing it and keep doing it, that's going to release the grace on you. That's what's going to release the anointing on you. And it's just going to increase more and more and more. And you become a contagious person. You know, how do you grow your small group? You absolutely fall in love with Jesus with all your heart. You pursue the presence of God. You say yes to God in a bigger way. You deal with your sin so that you can reach your destiny. And as you fall in love with God, it's funny how, you know, you can just, if you think small group, you know, if you think it's about preparing good Bible studies, it's never going to explode. You know, I used to just spend so much time working on sermons, writing sermons. I would come with full manuscript. I guarantee you, last time I came here, I had full manuscript sermons. I had page time. I knew this page takes 4 minutes, this page takes six. I can tell you, this is a 53-minute sermon. And I would nail it, exactly. I spent all this time working on sermons. My wife would go nuts. She's like, Steve, you can't spend 70 hours working on every sermon. I would practice them, time each page, you know. And it was work. It was so work. And then after 2 weeks later, you've forgotten the whole sermon. It's like cramming for an exam, you know? It's just you can kind of whoop people up for a moment that way. But I'll tell you something. What I do now, I just meditate on the Word day and night. I just pursue the Lord. Instead of working on sermons, I just work on me. That's my new sermon preparation. Work on Steve. Just go for a walk. Marinate. Fill myself with the Holy Spirit. And then, God, please show up. That's the kind of last minute. You know, you got a few notes, you go to scripture, but it's like, God. And you work on you. And I promise you, you become a magnet. And people's just, it just happens. And you're pursuing the presence of God and the anointing's on you. And when the anointing's on you, miracles happen. You know, I told a story about the girl at the gas station a couple months ago. I walked into the gas station. Well, I'd spent the whole morning meditating and just working on me. I'm still buzzing. I feel a little glory when I walk into the gas station. And this girl behind the counter, she's got her hand behind her head, and she's going like this. She's obviously in agony. As I walk in the gas station, I said, what's the matter with you? And she said, sorry. She's like, and she recognized me. Hey, Steve. She's like, oh, my neck is in pain. I'm in agony. I can hardly even move it. And I have a migraine. Well, I hear the Holy Spirit say, do it. And I'm like, God, you know, sometimes you don't answer when I pray. And there's people here in line, you know what I mean? How do you do this, you know? And if I had a really great track record but I also do, I know this too. I have a real grace for migraines. In fact, if you have migraines, I have a real grace for that. I don't know why, but I pray for people with migraines. Many people have said, I've never had another migraine. Have you prayed for me? And babies. People want to have babies. I've seen incredible results praying for people who can't have babies. And I've got guys who, I'll tell you a story later. Anyway, I'd love to tell the story. So anyways, I had a little more confidence because she's saying, my neck's sore and I have a migraine. There's the Lord. Okay. So I try to be confident. I'm like, well, Jesus is my very best friend. And if I pray for you, you'll be healed right now. So this girl, she's like, really? And I put my hand up. If I pray for you, you'll be healed right now. And I can hear the devil going, you're such an idiot. Jesus is my very best friend. I put my hand up, and she looks at me, you know, and she's looking at the other people in line, like, okay, customer's always right, you know, here we go. She puts her hand in my hand. As soon as she put her hand in my hand, the Holy Spirit said, it's just a little demon, just a little thing. Tell it to go. So I looked her in the eye, and I didn't call it a demon, I called it an evil influence. I don't want to freak her out. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this evil influence that is causing this pain. I command you to leave now. And I loose the kingdom of God into you right now in Jesus' name. And I said, how do you feel now? Well, as I'm saying, how do I feel now? How do you feel now? In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it didn't work, so what do I say? And I was thinking of my excuse, because I really didn't have anything. But I can hear God talking, but I still didn't think he was going to do it. So I'm thinking of an excuse. Here's what I'll say. Well, sometimes healing takes time, 3 to 10 minutes. By the 10 minutes is over, I'll be gone. But on the outside, I'm really confident. How do you feel now? And she goes, oh my God. And she does this a few times, she's like, oh my God. And then she grabs my hand, she's like, thank you. Thank you. And I'm like, well, that's how I roll. I didn't need any more. Just come to me. And I even threw in, yeah, well, you know, I practiced on my kids, you know? When they get sick, I just pray for them. God's rolling his eyes. Yeah, sure. I walk out, you know. But, you know, I'm pursuing his presence. I've just spent the whole morning seeking him, worshiping him, praising him. Got a little glory on me, and bang, something happened. And I'll tell you, how did Jesus win souls? You know, it wasn't like he prepared really good Bible studies. You know, he healed the sick. He just brought the kingdom wherever he went. And when the kingdom touches people, stuff happens. I remember one time I went into one of my consultant shacks, big oil field shacks. He lives out in the middle of the bush in these big oil field shacks. And I walked in, and he's moaning and groaning on the couch. Oh, so much pain. I'm like, what's the matter with you? And he's like, oh, my head is hurting my back. I'm like, you want me to deal with that? I know he's watched a few Oil Patch Bulbit episodes. He's like, okay. And I just thought, okay, well, he knows I'm a preacher anyway. Here we go. And I just went after the demon. I'm almost convinced it's usually a devil. So I just start there. And I, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind this evil influence right now. I bind this spirit. I command you to leave this place. I loose the kingdom on you. And within a few minutes, he's up and walking around and doing great. And I said, how are you feeling? He's like, oh yeah, 100%, thanks. Said, well, it was just a little demon. I just shooed it away. I didn't know if he heard me. A few minutes later, he's like, so you just shoo it away? Just shoo it away. Next time, a couple months later, whatever, I'm out on his lease, and he's like, hey, can you do that thing again? I prayed for him. I didn't see anything immediate, but I left. I had to come back an hour later. He's like, as soon as you left the shack, I was 100%. Thanks. You know, it's like, you're better than an Advil. You know? But kingdom, you know? Just taking the kingdom. And honestly, you know, we're such ordinary people. You think, oh, God would never do it. I'm the most ordinary person you're ever going to meet. But he likes me. So let's see what he'll do. And, you know, and when you have opportunities, you know, someone's sick. You know, It's like, why not say, you know, I just believe God's going to heal you. You know, you're going to stick your neck out. Say something that makes them look, you know, build their faith a little bit, you know. But just go for it. Try it. Jesus is my very best friend. If I pray for you, you'll be healed. Try that one. I like it. I say that now quite a bit. I said that to a girl who was coming out of a doctor's office. I was going in, she was coming out, and I said, what are you doing? And I thought, I shouldn't ask a woman who's coming out of a doctor's office. But I did. It's too late. I do that a lot. I open my mouth and later I go, oh, shit. My wife tells me stuff. Think first. Life's too short. She's walking out, I'm like, what are you doing? Going to the doctor's. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, I have a cyst on my ovary. And I'm like, well, Jesus is my very best friend. If I pray for you, you'll be healed. Take her hand. She's like, okay. I prayed for her. I saw her at the place she works like a week later. I said, hey, how's that little thing? She said, it's gone. When the girl that got healed at the gas station went in there a couple days later. When I walked in, she's like, Steven, oh my gosh, I've been looking for you. I've been looking for your wife or one of your staff. I just wanted to tell you, I can't believe that worked. I can't believe that worked. I mean, I was 100% right after that. I said, I promise you, it wasn't a magic trick. I said, that was Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. He was blowing you a kiss. He wanted you to know that you mattered. Oh, thanks, you know. But I'll tell you something. You're just taking the kingdom wherever you go, pursuing him, saying yes to him, growing in the... You know, as you say yes to him, I know I say this almost every sermon, saying yes to God, I just believe it's the most important thing in your life. God's asking you for something right now in your life. He's asking you to deal with something that's keeping you from reaching your destiny. You deal with that sin, or you say yes to that discipline. You say yes, you get to move forward in your destiny. Every time you say yes, I always say this, your destiny is on the other side of your yes. And so you say yes to him, and things begin to increase. Things to begin to grow, the anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was laying on the couch and I said, Lord, give me a word. I want to just tell me something I don't know. I'm sure he knows a few things. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, 10:27. And I said, I already know John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. Give me another one. He said, Isaiah. Oh, I don't know that one. Okay, I'll go there. Isaiah 10:27 says, it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken. And I was reading in the NASB, which is a very literal translation. Usually people read it in the King James, which says, the anointing breaks the yoke. And that's how you always hear it. But in this one it says, the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Fatness. Look this up, fatness. Ooh. Who's praying for more fat? But you know, we often think of, and the Lord just started speaking to me about this, but you know, we often think of, and we hear people say, you know, I'm anointed, so you come on up, and my anointing will break your yoke. You know, that's basically how we often teach it. The anointing breaks the yoke, so hey, since I'm anointed, come to me and your yoke will be broken. But see, what this is really saying is, the anointing on you is going to break your yoke. You're going to get so fat. That fatness means it's, the anointing, it is fat, it is the anointing, but it's you. You want to get fatter. That's what God's desire is, that you just begin to say yes to him, pursue him, go after him, and you just get fatter and fatter and fatter, and pretty soon that chain that's been holding you down, it snaps. Pretty soon that addiction, that lust, that whatever your thing is, that whatever that thing is, that ball and chain might not even be a sin. I find that most Christians are missing their destiny, not because of horrible sins, but just things that are just filling their life so they can't get full of God. You know, you're pursuing him, you're saying yes to him, you're getting fatter, the anointing's getting bigger, and then you're bumping into people, and they get healed, they get touched, they get blessed, they get saved. You know, when you come to your Bible study is it weekly that you guys do it?
Bi-weekly.
Yeah, mostly weekly. You know, when you come there every week, you know, the call of God on your life to be a small group leader is not a call to prepare good Bible studies. It's the call to be as fat as you can be in the anointing. and just let that rub off on people. You fill yourself up, and God pours you. He fills you up, and He pours you. So anyway, that's what I felt to share with you, just to embrace who you are, to recognize God chose you. God picked you, you know? Look at the, you know, I look at the things that have gone wrong in my life, the wrong decisions I've made. You know, I'm going to talk on Thursday night to some of, you know, the business people who have just, I'll tell you, show up on Thursday. In fact, invite anyone, you know, Christian, non-Christian, wherever you can. I really believe there's going to be a breakthrough for people in the area of finances on Thursday night. But I think it's some of the worst things, the mistakes I've made and failures and all these things. And you know what? I just remind myself when things just seem to be going bad. I just go, you know what, God? Well, you made me. You know, I know I'm ordinary. I know I'm average. I know that I'm not that special without you. But God, here I am. I'm just going to say yes to you. I'm signing up for obedience. I'm going to say yes to you in a bigger way. And I'm just going to have to trust that you're going to get me out of this. You didn't make me smart, so you better do something. You know, and God has a way of, you know, He knows those who trust in Him. He knows those who trust in Him. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be a good speaker. You just have to be wholehearted pursuing Him. And I promise you, you're going to be so attractive. Miracles are going to happen. Things are going to go on. Hey. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't make one person with a puny destiny. You didn't create one person to be below average. I thank you that your plans are good, your plans are big. I thank you, Jesus, the grace, I think the scripture says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. God, I thank you that you've planned riches, riches in anointing, riches in glory, riches in prosperity, riches in just ability to influence people for Christ. Every one of us has been called to great riches, great things. And I'm asking that you would get people excited about who they are. Excited about finding out what their number is. How are you going to speak to me? How are you going to get my attention? What are the things that turn my heart towards you? How am I wired to connect with God? I pray that they would celebrate the call of God on their life. Be so thankful, Lord. You chose them. You've loved them. And you got good things for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.